Welcome back. And we start our third hour. I am Jim Rome. The Jungle is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So I ended that hour with that take on the Dallas Cowboys. I ended the take by saying this is not going to be interactive. This is not one of those two-way deals where I say something and you react to it. This is one of those deals where I say something and you don't do jack because I know you. I know you would misrepresent it. I know you can't handle it. Having said that, it comes as little to no surprise to me that you clones are not moving on from that topic. Although I said very succinctly and very clearly and unequivocally, move on from the topic. Do not react to it. I'm shutting that topic down. We're moving on. Not surprisingly, clones, you have ignored the stop sign. You are rounding the bases. I'm like the third base coach who has stepped way out of the baseline with both hands up. Stop! Stop! Game 7, World Series. Don't be the third out when you represent the tying run. Like, literally, the catcher. You're rounding third. I'm halfway between the box and the dugout. And the catcher is waiting at home plate with the ball in his hand. And you're rounding third, a big-ass, giant, wide turn out of the base path. And I'm screaming, no! Stop! Stop!
No!
But you're running right through it. There's no way you can't see that stop sign or can't miss that stop sign. I'm jumping up and down, both hands in the air, screaming, stop! Stop! And the catcher's just sitting there at home plate with the ball. But you clones can't help yourselves. Running right through that stop sign. We're not doing it. I shared a take. I thought it was a very responsible take and a really good take. We're not doing it. If you've got something else you want to hit on, do it. Phones, Twitter, email, Instagram, Facebook, Snapface, whatever you want. Speaking of Snapface, Patriots Snapface. And Bills. Bills Mafia, you're 3-0. Your defense looks good. It looks good. Your secondary looks awesome. Josh Allen looks like Josh Allen, up and down. Crazy, crazy physical gifts, an amazing arm, can beat you with his legs, totally fearless, but still makes big decisions or big mistakes at bad times. But can they get it done? I'm a little leery of what the hood might do to a young quarterback like that. However, they've got to deal with you in your house, and I love what you're doing defensively. And if I could make an argument for the Bills, I could argue that the Pats are jacked up on their offensive line, that TB12 does not have his full collection of targets. Antonio Brown is gone. Julian Edelman may play, but he left the previous game banged up, and they're down a couple of guys on the O-line. I don't know. Mafia? Maybe? Possibly? I'm trying to talk myself into it. Let's talk some more baseball for a minute. All right, so we all have TV shows that we like to watch, you know, where every single episode starts with one of the characters saying the two all-important words, previously on, and then the title of the program follows, and you get scenes from last week's episode to kind of jog your memory about some super complex storyline that you forgot over the past 6 days while you impatiently waited for your on-demand library to repopulate.
Previously on Lost.
Previously on The Young and the Restless.
Previously on Family Guy.
Previously. So you know this. Most of you have been nonstop crushing a little TV show called Football ever since it returned a few weeks back. So let me get you caught up on another TV show that you may have been missing because of that. A TV show called Baseball, especially since there are a few episodes left before the season finale. Allow me to do the honors. Previously on Baseball. So this is it. Week 25 of the 25-week season. The final mile in the marathon grind. Just 5 nights until the glorious return of October. And if you're just checking now into America's former pastime, you did not hear my opening segment of the program. Let me dial you in. Here's where we are. Previously on baseball, the Dodgers clinched their seventh straight NL West title way back in spring training. Not really, but pretty much. If we're being exact, it was 15 days ago. Nearly 2 weeks passed before the Yankees ripped the AL East on Friday. The Braves wrapped up their division on Saturday. The Astros went back to back to back in the West on Sunday. 10 playoff spots and your first four teams are the usual suspects. Now here's where this show gets good. The fifth team punched its ticket Sunday, and they are no strangers to October. I'm talking about the Redbirds of St. Louis.
St. Louis.
They're in. We just don't know if they're in as divisional winners or as a wild card squad. Most likely, they will win the NL Central, but I'm not about to shade the Brew Crew and call that race over before it is. What we do know is the Cubs are not turning the page on their calendar. Not as division champs, not as a wild card team, not as anything other than recreational golfers. 2 weeks ago today, the reigning NL MVP, Christian Yelich, exploded his kneecap and his season ended with the flukiest foul ball ever. It looked like a terrible, terrible thing. In fact, it was. But at that time, the Cubs and the Brewers were tied for the second wildcard spot. You'd swear, though, it was the Cubs who lost Yelich and not the Crew. Because ever since Yelich went down, the Crew has been unstoppable. 11-2 in their last 13. Meanwhile, the Cubs, who should have been the beneficiaries, cannot stop puking all over themselves. At this point, it's just pathetic. I mean, it's sad. Seven straight losses, six of them at home. And now the most expensive team in the NL is five back with five to play. And it's not just that they're losing, it's how they're losing. It's that they're losing at the worst time, in the worst ways, to the worst teams. And Joe Maddon is about to become the only dude in the history of the world to wear out a welcome 3 seasons after winning a city, their first world championship in over 100 years. I mean, I didn't even think that was possible. Now, I'm not going to waste any of my time or your time on the Mets. I will just tell you this. In a season which included a pitcher threatening a reporter, a manager fawning over Billy Martin for punching a journo, a GM texting in the bullpen moves from his couch, and the team memorializing two alive guys as dead guys. My favorite moment may have actually happened this past Saturday. Saturday, after the Braves clinched, the NL East, former New York Met, Adany Echevarria made sure to express his attitude and gratitude over no longer being a Met.
Down here now with Adany Echevarria and Franco Garcia. And Adany, I mean, what has this the past couple of months been like for you?
En verdad, estoy muy agradecido este año por todo lo que ha pasado, ¿no? No empecé jugando regular ni nada por el estilo, pero le agradezco a Dios porque salí de los Mets y me puso aquí en un lugar perfecto.
I just feel extremely grateful for everything that's happening. I mean, everything that's happening. Obviously, everything happens for a reason, and God always has a plan. So I just want to thank God for the opportunity of removing me from the Mets and putting me on this team, because right now this is a perfect place for me. It's a perfect fit.
That is incredible. Not, I want to thank God for this opportunity. I want to thank God for removing me from the Mets, is what he said. Like, I don't care who or what you believe in. Just make sure you give thanks to who or whatever it is when you get removed from the Mets. And make sure you do it on TV where everybody can hear you. Well done, Adany. I want to thank God for removing me from the Mets. So the Cubs and the Mets are as good as dead. D-O-A. Dead. One more Brewers win will make it official for both of these teams. Nothing like getting eliminated at the hands of a team that had their MVP eliminated from their roster 2 weeks back. Bad job, bad effort, Cubs and Mets. However, good job, good effort to Trey Turner and the Nationals, who wrapped up the sixth spot in the playoffs last night, thanks in large part to this salami dong from Turner in the sixth inning of that doubleheader nightcap.
Swing a long drive, left center field, way, way back there, toward the wall. It's a grand slam! The Nationals lead, 6-4.
Clinching at home is pretty sweet. Clinching in front of your old teammate and a top five MLB strikeout leader, Bryce Harper, is even sweeter. Look, I don't expect the Nats to do much in October. Not when everyone in the NL has to deal with the Dodgers. But last night may as well have been their World Series. Sweep the doubleheader, pop champagne at home while Harper watches. Somehow the Nats got better this year and the Philadelphia Phillies got worse and it cost Philly $330 million. But hey, at least Harper played a key role in helping Major League Baseball set another new all-time home run and strikeout record. So that's something, I guess. Something to celebrate. So there's the NL. Four of the five spots are spoken for. The Brew Crew will get the fifth, despite losing Yelich. And the Cubs, the Mets, and the Phillies can all watch from home like the rest of us. Bad job, bad effort. I want to thank God for removing me from the Mets. It's one of my favorite lines of the year. Again, I want to thank the man above for this amazing opportunity. No, I want to thank God for removing me from the Mets.
I want to thank God for the opportunity of removing me from the Mets and putting me on this team.
And I love it wasn't even like, I want to thank God for this opportunity to play where I am right now and for getting me the hell out of New York. No, I want to thank God for getting me off the Mets. You should just stop right there. All right, still ahead. The 89-cent man. Still ahead. Still not talking about the Cowboys. We moved on. Still ahead. Episode 97 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Barry Zito. We're going to push that out a little bit later on. And I do have an open phone line if you want it. I want to try and get to the Milwaukee Bucks, charged with tampering, but tampering with their own player. And man, if what they did is tampering, you might want to look at that again. All of that is coming up. Hawk is getting himself together, probably on the way to giving me emails that should never see the light of day. Let's break. Pay-per-view presents a champion versus champion showdown when Errol the Truth Spence Jr. takes on Showtime Sean Porter in a world championship unification bout at Staples Center. Saturday night, the undefeated Southpaw, Spence Jr., has become one of boxing's top stars, making quick work of most of his opponents in his rise to becoming a world champion. Relentless in the ring, welterweight world champion Sean Porter brings the heat with an intensely physical style. Do not miss this showdown. Spence Jr. v. Porter, Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Order right now live on pay-per-view. Also available on the Fox Sports app.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Quick reminder, Saturday night, champion v. champion. Errol the Truth Spence Jr. takes on Showtime Sean Porter in a world championship unification bout at Staples Center. Spence Jr. versus Porter, Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. You can order that now live on pay-per-view. It's also available on the Fox Sports app. We are efforting Sean Porter for tomorrow's program. Quick email for you. Jamie in Green Bay. He tweets, actually not an email, but tweets, what segment works better for you to read spanking tweets? This segment or next segment? Signed, Sales Guy.
Spanking himself as he emulates riding the horse.
Let me shout out to all salespeople. Are you listening right now? Are you in sales? Guys, gals, are you in sales? Are you cold calling? Are you prospecting? Is it kicking your ass? Big shout out. Nothing but respect. I lived that life, and I lived it miserably. I was one of the all-time worst salespeople. This is why I'm here, because I could not sell. I've got mad respect for people who do that job. That is a hard job. And although I've said it before, it does bear repeating. When this guy says, what works better for you to read spanking tweets, this segment or next segment? When I tried to sell dictation equipment back in the day, they would give us these scripts where you would call people up on the phone and say, hey, Mr. Prospect, yeah, this is Jim Rome with Harris Lanier, and I've got a $2,500 answering machine that I want to sell you. Hey, Mr. Prospect, I'm going to be in your neighborhood on Monday and Wednesday. What day works better for you? Like, Mr. Prospect's trapped, right? There's no way out. You don't give them a way out. You don't ask them a yes-no question. You don't say, if I had a way to increase your profits and have you work less hard, would that interest you? No, actually, they did try and tell you that, too. Like, who would say no to that? Who would say no to, I have a way to increase your profits and make it so you don't have to work as hard? Hey, young sales buck, who would say no to that? And then tell them. Because they will say yes. Yes, yes, I would love to know how you could increase my profits and make it so I don't work as hard. Tell me more. Okay, I'd love to. I'm going to be in your neighborhood on Monday and Wednesday. What works better? Wednesday, 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock? 3 o'clock? Great, see you then. That literally was supposed to work. Instead, people would just F-bomb me and hang up. This is why I'm not in sales. And this is why I respect those of you who not only are in it, but make money doing it and are good at it. And believe me, I tried. The only thing worse than failing is to fail and try as hard as you possibly could, which I did. If there was a sales book that was written, I read it. All of them. And still couldn't sell jack. Thanks for bringing me back, Jamie. Hey, sales reps, tell me I'm wrong. How many of you sit in bed on Sunday night saying, no, no, I don't want to go back out there. I don't want to go back out there. I can't go back out there. Man, those Sunday nights were murder. I hated Sunday night when I was in sales. Just sit there in bed looking at the ceiling. Man, don't make me go back out there. Yeah, but Friday nights were good, man. Friday nights were good. Saturday morning was good. Saturday night was good, but less good. Sunday morning, the dread, man, it started again. Sunday afternoon, I was straight up depressed and terrified. By Sunday night, I'm in my bed and I can't sleep. In fact, you know what? Don't email me or tweet me about sales again. It's taking me back to a bad place. Let's see. Checking my call screen. Josh in Detroit. Yeah, I'm not going there. All right, so let's do a take. Whether you like it or not, gambling is becoming a more and more prominent part of the sports landscape and the vernacular and the conversation. Sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. I liked it over the weekend when I went 7-1. There are weekends where I've gone 1-6 and not liked it at all. But that's the life. It used to be the only time you'd hear about lines or prop bets or over-unders or crushing a bookie. And ironclad locks of the week was when some Vegas greaseball tout paid a radio station a couple of $100 for early Saturday morning airtime. Not anymore. Times have changed. Major networks are devoting huge programming blocks to shows that do nothing but talk about sports gambling. There's obviously a major demographic for it, or they wouldn't do it. There's obviously a huge appetite for it, or they wouldn't do it. Hell, my guy Steve Elkington created a money gaming app. I've had pod conversations, interesting conversations, good conversations with Todd Furman of FS1, Chad Millman of the Action Network, where all we did was talk about this stuff. And I remember Millman specifically telling me the biggest hook to the sports gambling conversation, not so much the intel that people want, but the stories, the anecdotes. People love the stories of massive paydays and horrendously terrible beats. The bigger the number either way, the more interesting the story. Which brings me to this one. A fascinating story about the 89-cent man that has been making the rounds for the past 24 hours. And for all of the internet stories about huge wagers that either hit or straight cripple a gambler, this one might be the most interesting because the wager was so minuscule. First off, the 89-cent man is anonymous. At this point, we do not know who this is. But whoever he is has been glossed the 89-cent man because he put 89 cents down on a 20-team parlay before Thursday Night Football where the Jags took on the Titans. So a few things. If you're new to gambling, a parlay is a string of two or more bets that only cashes if everything comes in. The more games you bet together as a parlay, the bigger the payout. It makes sense, right? Your odds of being 100% right go down every time you string in an additional bet. So if you've got a three-team parlay, your payout is going to be way bigger than if you bet those games individually. But on the flip side, if you miss even one of them, your entire bet is gone. So the 89-cent man took an incredibly huge and improbable swing when he strung together 20 different bets that started on Thursday night and ended Monday night. Here's how improbable this was. 89 cents, if he hits that 20-team parlay, was going to pay out 500 grand. Let me repeat that. A jack-in-the-box taco was going to pay out as Gardner Minshew's salary if it hit. So if I'm talking about this on my radio program, what do you think happened? Let's start at the beginning. Two of the 20 bets came off Thursday night. Jags-Titans and Tulane-Houston. They both hit. So far, so good. Three more bets on Friday night. And those three college football bets all hit. So the 89-cent man is 5 for 5. A quarter of the way through. It's kind of a mini heater in and of itself, right? When was the last time you got 5 in a row, right? 14 of his 15 remaining bets went down on Saturday. He hit every single one of them, 19 for 19, a series and variety of bets, but he hit all of them. Like, I've never heard of anything like that. That guy went 19 for 19. I mean, it just as a reminder, let's pause here. Remember my man Trevor Price's streak of 7 incorrect picks? How that damn near jumped a month of the show last season? Because it's really hard to get 7 games in a row right or wrong. Again, I went 7-1 over the weekend, and I felt like Jeopardy, James, Holzhauer. And I went 7-1. Imagine this guy, and that's not like some humble brag because I know I'll go 1-7 this weekend. But I'd never done anything like that, and I went 7-1. This dude, the 89-cent man, went 19 for 19. He needed one last bet to come through, and this guy turns 89 cents into a half a mil. It's fate. It's destiny. But here's the real sweat of the entire thing. The 89-cent man had no bets on Sunday. His one remaining bet was Monday. So for over 24 hours, he had to sit on a potential $500,000 ticket, sweat it out through Sunday to get to Monday night. So, what was the final game of that 20-team parlay? Bears-Redskins, Monday Night Football. Did you play that game? I know what you're thinking. If this guy nailed 19 of 19, there's no way he doesn't hit this one. Like, I don't need to state the obvious, but clearly, the 89-cent man, if he was good enough to go 19 for 19, you know he had the Bears. You know it. Ladies and gentlemen of the jungle, I'm here to tell you, the 89-cent man had the Redskins!
Shy of the 15, gets the ball, tries to leap, knock the ball away as he was leaping over the pile. It's loose, it's rolling, and Chicago is recovered! Chicago is recovered! The quarterback and a keeper trying to leap over the pile on a 4th-and-1 with the ball extended with both hands, and it was punched out. And it was punched out and rolled backwards, and Chicago recovered.
Remember on Tuesday when I played that play? And I said, man, that's a rookie move right there by Case. In fact, that's a high school move by Case Keenum. And I was actually pretty aggravated by the whole thing. I didn't have a $500,000 riding on that play like this guy did. As brutal as that was, it's even worse now. Case Keenum trying to dive over a pile on the 20. You know, acting like it was the goal line, trying to extend the ball. Tried to extend the ball to cross the plane, except he wasn't on the plane. Tried to extend the ball and just hand it to a Bears defender. I mean, I found that pretty annoying. And I had like, I'll be real, I had the Bears, so I didn't care. But I was just annoyed by bad football. Imagine being a guy who had a half a mil riding on that game. I mean, there are bad beats. And then there's the Washington, D.C. high school football Redskins. Spelling names wrong, fumbling, and being the trap door to death in a 20-team, $500,000 parlay. Listen, the 89-cent man has got to take some of that himself. He's got to own that. How the hell are you going to take the Redskins money line on Monday Night Football? Please tell me you went to the nearest casino and you put $500K on the Bears just to hedge that bet. Doubt that. But then again, he only had 89 cents invested, right? 19 out of 20 is impressive as hell. It also pays out exactly nothing. If you had bet every one of those games individually, you would have gotten paid. But then again, he got in that game for 89 cents. You know what's a better gloss than the 89 cent man? The $500,000 man. But too bad you don't get to rock that gloss because you bet the Redskins. You know what's a better use of 89 cents than betting the Redskins? Pretty much everything. There's never going to be a next time, but just in case there is a next time, please bet anything other than the Redskins on Monday night or any other day or night for that matter. How do you ever live that down? To put yourself in that position to make a half a mil and not get it because you bet the Redskins. There's your 89-cent man story.
89.
Dude almost did it. If you can go 20 for 20, you deserve to make a half a mil. But if you pick the Redskins, you don't deserve jack. Man, that's got it. That's got a sting. No wonder my man's anonymous. Imagine walking around like, oh, you're the guy who took the Redskins. Yo, 89-cent man. 89. You talk about a bad beat. Find me a worse beat than that. All right, when we return, I may take one last shot at your phone calls. Getting ready for Barry Zito, who I'm going to talk to a little bit later on today. That's part of episode 97 of our podcast. I have a guest for Ep 100, as I mentioned. And right now, I've got a sports update. Here is the latest on this Wednesday. Rich Ackerman, the Auto Parts. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Still looking for an ATP. We'll get one in before the end of the program. Dear Rome, I want to thank God for removing me from the front lines of the Civil War. Dysentery happens for a reason. Writ.
I just want to thank God for the opportunity of removing me from the Mets.
Hitman Canadian tweets. I want to thank God for removing me from the headsets, signed Robert Dasmati.
I just want to thank God for the opportunity
removing
of removing
me from
the
Jim Rome Show, for this amazing opportunity of working for the city of Alhambra, for giving me the Ross look-alike jeans. It's been a pretty good day phone call-wise. At least as far as you clones go. So let's keep this thing going. Let's go to Detroit. Johnny in Detroit. Good to have you, Johnny. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy. How about the irony of Carl Anderson calling out Derek in North Carolina? The only thing worse than the call was the tweet. I guess this is what happens when Carl doesn't have a team of writers trying to figure out how the hell to make this oiled-up meathead sound half intelligent. And this is incredible. The guy gets hit with fake punches. He gets hit with fake chairs. He pretends to get knocked out by something called the sleeper hold. And he wears yoga pants to work. And he comes in the jungle and drops a tweet that sucks so bad even Josh in Detroit wouldn't send it. Hey, Carl, stay in your lane, save your money, and we'll see you at the carnival in 10 years. Ring the bell, Jimmy. I'm out.
Wow. Johnny in the D taking a run at the good brother. What do you mean you'll see him in the carnival in 10 years? Do you know anything about what that guy does? Do you know anything about the Good Brothers? They are carrying that outfit right now. They are killing it. And he'd probably respond to that smack, but I'm not sure that he can hear it over the construction which is going on in his backyard where he's dropping a gigantic brand new pool because he's having so much success doing what he's doing, living that life. The Good Brother can handle himself. But I got to say, come on, man, really? Those guys are everywhere. Let's go to the ATP. Rome, would you rather go back to In-N-Out or outside sales if you had to? Barry in Birmingham, great question. Well, considering I sucked at both those jobs, if I had to pick between In-N-Out and outside sales, and I was really bad at both, as bad as I was at In-N-Out, peeling the potatoes, slicing the tomatoes, trying to jam the burgers, the double doubles, into those little diaper wraps that were too small. There was not one part of that job I was good at, honestly. I would still rather do that than go cold call and try to sell dictation equipment or phone systems in some crappy territory where nobody wanted to see me. Barry, I'd rather work at In-N-Out. You know why? I made more money working at In-N-Out than I did in sales. There was no draw versus a commission at In-N-Out. There was an hourly salary. I guaranteed money. That whole draw versus the commission thing, that wasn't very stressful. So what you're telling me is if I don't sell something, I don't get paid? That's exactly what we're telling you, chump. Hit the bricks. Go make some calls. All right, so let's go to Jared in Florida. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Doing all right. How you doing, Jim?
Good. Great.
Good. Hey, yeah, so I hop in my car after coming out of a sales call, and I hear you talking about the sales life you had a few years ago, and I could not agree more about the roller coaster of emotions you go through on a day-to-day basis, let alone the anxiety of heading back out and psyching yourself up on a Sunday night.
Jared, what do you sell?
Cable. Business.
Yeah, I got you. I speak the truth, do I not? It's a tough life.
It is. It is. You're just trying to ride that high from one sale that you get, ride it to the next one, hoping for another yes.
No, exactly. It's not how many no's, Jared. It's how many yeses, and all you need is that one big yes. You know this. You know this. I appreciate it. So he's saying, you nailed that, Rome. That's exactly what that is. I used to be, like, now I'm of the mindset, and I have been, well, for my entire radio career, that if I say to somebody, hey, man, how you doing? It's Friday. Yeah, I didn't ask you what day it was. I said, how are you? But I guess we all forget, right? I would have been that guy back in the day. When I was in sales, I don't know that I would have articulated it as such. My pride might not have allowed it, but believe me, I would have thought it. How you doing, Rome? It's Friday, man. How you doing, Rome? Dude, it's Monday. And like, I always resent that. I'm like, man, it's a terrible way to go through life. And then I remember that is how I went through life. So again, tip of the hat to salespeople. It is not an easy job. You know, what would piss me off even more, it was the hardest thing to do, and some people were so good at it, and they weren't even trying. And I was trying as hard as I possibly could and couldn't succeed on any level. So then I'd hate those people too. And I'd hate the receptionist who would kick me out of the office. And then I would hate the security guard that kicked me out of the entire building. I mean, that struggle was real. Cold calling, prospecting, 100 phone calls, maybe to get one yes. You get that minuscule, tiny little sale, and you sit on that thing for a whole week so you can drop that on the boss so you don't have zero on the board. Man, it's all coming back. All coming back. So the answer to the question, I would much rather work it in and out than in outside sales because I was better at that. At least in and out, they let us play softball once a week. And a free meal at the end of every shift. Like when I sold dictation equipment, I didn't get a free dictation equipment at the end of every month. When I sold phone systems, they didn't give me a free Toshiba phone system at the end of every month. But in and out, I got a free double-double and fries. And you know I went shake too back then. Dear Jim, I'm the 89 dent man. You're somebody with a bad complexion.
89.
I'm not reading that.
Bottom line.
Not going to read that. Let's go to Harrisburg, Bob. It's good to have you. Bob, how are you? Go ahead, Bob, you're on the air. And now you're not.
That's not a good call.
No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
His loss is your gain, Josh, in Detroit. Man, I would give anything to go to Josh in Detroit and have him not be there. But I know he will be. If there, you want a lock, you want to find this on some betting board. Find this on some website. You want a lock, a surefire thing. When I go to Josh in Detroit, he will be there. And then his call won't be nearly as good as he thinks it is. There's your parlay. I'm going to parlay Josh being there to Josh's call not being nearly as good as he thinks it is. I wonder that what that would pay on an 89-cent bet.
89.
What's up, Josh? You're on the air.
What's up, Rome? Talk about salesmen. I sure do have persistence, don't I? Because here I am. You finally said yes. You know, Rome, at first I thought it was a national hashtag Kill Michigan Day because you had Wisconsin on. You had Appalachian State's coach on. What's next, Romy? Urban Meyer's Mark D'Antonio. You know, the Michigan's been a dead football team and organization since Jim Harbaugh walked through the door 5 years ago. Oh, hey, Derek in North Carolina, do you have a Sharpie? Because you know what? I might as well have you sign an autograph because this is what a yard call sounds like. Yay, I made it, Rome!
That's not a good call.
No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I think he just said, hey, Derek, do you have a Sharpie? Because this is what a yard call sounds like. A yard call? You mean like going yard? And what's the Sharpie for? Like you're going to sign an autograph because that guy's going to want your signature because you just made a yard call. A yard call. Like, are you going to rake leaves? Mow somebody's lawn? With that yard call? Speaking of huge calls, how about making the call to add Snickers and Skittles candies to your game day spread? These fun gridiron favorites are sure to be a crowd pleaser that will have fans cheering for even more Snickers and Skittles, the official candy sponsors of the NFL. No, you did not make it either, Josh. You got run. Go back and listen to it.
This is what a yard call sounds like.
I'm waiting for him. Yay, I made it, Rome. No, you didn't. Josh, that call ended the way all your calls end, by you getting humiliated and run. My thanks to Jonathan Taylor, Eli Drinkwitz, Fred Warner, Barry Zito on the podcast later today.